and the different hospitals about how they can prepare for a surge on the ICU stuff. As a precaution, I've also talked to the National Guard and had them just kind of lay up some plans just in case our hospital system gets overrun on setting up more ICU beds. So that is a lever that's available if we need to, that they're working through some plans. If we had it, if we had to pull that lever and we needed more beds, you know, what's that look like? How long does it take? So I just wanted y'all to know that we're working on that. We closed schools for the 2 weeks after spring break. That'll be through April 6th. This is basically on CDC guidelines that they are really trying to limit the spread of coronavirus. And so they're wanting us to limit to no more than, you know, 10 or more. They want us to kind of limit that interaction for the next 15 days. It's kind of a critical period for the next 15 days because when they look at the what happened in Italy, we're really trying to plan for 3 weeks out and not to overload the health environment. So we're trying to flatten the curve on those folks that are getting this virus and getting sick and having to be hospitalized. And just a reminder to everybody on the call, 80% of the people that get this virus will have mild to no symptoms whatsoever. So there's still a lot of debate on how much more serious this is than the flu, you know, from a mortality rate perspective. But we're just trying to be as cautious as possible and trying to listen to the CDC and what the federal government is recommending in the states. So we're also advising all vulnerable adults, people over 60 with compromised immune systems to avoid, you know, unnecessary travel at this point, unnecessary air travel. I'm encouraging businesses to look at how they can keep their employees safe and can limit big gatherings. You can do that in a couple different ways. You can kind of rotate through who can work from home or just kind of spread out a little bit more in the office. I'm not mandating, and I wanted to be clear on this, I'm not mandating restaurants to close or anything like that. We're just asking people to be innovative and to think about limiting, you know, groups of 10 or more in close proximity. So more curbside service, more delivery, you know, spreading tables out at restaurants. But again, the couple of mayors around our state have went a little more extreme and have set all bars and restaurants to be closed besides this. That is not the Trump administration's recommendation. It's more of, let's make sure that we are avoiding groups of 10 or more. And really, I'm trying to balance protecting our workers. I'm really concerned about our workforce and the people that are affected and the small businesses that are having to lay off employees, with also protecting public health and the limited and being a limited form of government. And when is it the government's job to close businesses down? So that's kind of the balancing act. So these are all recommendations. I know some cities are taking it to the next degree, but I'm really wanting, you know, we're very innovative. Our business people know what they're doing. Let's be cautious. Especially with forward facing companies. So state agencies, that's what I've done with our state agencies. I said, hey, let's make sure that we can have, where possible, people can work from home. There's critical needs in our state where that's not possible in some cases. So then let's just be smart and let's have some kind of social distancing for the next 15 days as we maneuver through this virus season and try to flatten that curve. Let's see here. We, in the health department, we have 68 different facilities that we're setting up across the state in the different counties through our state health department where we are going to have testing available. So right now the process is, if you feel like you're sick or receiving symptoms or having symptoms, then we want you to call our call center, which is manned 24/7, or your health provider. That number is 877-215-8336, 877-215-8336. And that's kind of some telemedicine things. They will let you know if you just need to stay at home, or they will direct you to one of these testing facilities where you can be tested. We've contacted FEMA. There's some mobile units that we're getting stood up in our state. We also are working with OU Health Science Center to set up one in Tulsa County, kind of a drive-through mobile center to kind of alleviate some of the demand on our ERs. And I want to give my phone number out to the office here, that if anybody has anything specific for me, that they can call us. My number is 405-521-2342, 405-521-2342. But that's basically the update. We're trying to, I'm trying to keep everybody calm. We are going to get through this, but there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of anxious people out there. And then there's certain groups that think it's being overblown. And so I'm trying to balance and make sure that we are prepared as a state. And let's hope and pray that it does not, overwhelm our hospital system. So that's kind of the update that I have for you guys. I'm willing to take questions or comments, or I'll just turn it back over to you guys.
Governor, thank you very, very much for taking the time to visit with us about what the state is doing. With your permission, I'm going to cut to Senator Lankford, who is also on the call, and invite him to share some of his thoughts.
Absolutely.
Senator, are you on? Well, I was told he was on. Okay.
He may not. Senator Lankford, if you press *6, that'll unmute yourself.
Well, let's try that and see if that works a little better.
There you go. Thank you, Senator.
How about that? So I said something really profound and kind to the governor before, but he didn't hear it. I'm not going to say it again then. Governor, thanks. We just got a chance to visit yesterday talking through some of the issues on this. I appreciate all the engagement. Let me give you a couple quick updates because there are some things that are moving. I had some conversations with folks, and I know multiple banks are trying to make decisions on how they're going to operate, what this looks like. An interesting piece of information that's out of late is that it looks like this virus itself can live on a surface for up to 3 days. And so when people talk about cleaning surfaces, cleaning doorknobs, countertops, anything that people touch, there is a thought, and again, no one knows, that it's more likely you could actually pick up the virus by touching a surface that has not been cleaned in the last 3 days where the virus lived or is living. And so taking special care to be able to clean lobbies, any place that anyone touches, becomes especially important at this point, especially for so many of you that are doing drive-through areas, and to be able to help out making sure we're cleaning everything that everyone touches is significant for us. We are working on a second bill. There are three bills that are in this chain at this point. The first bill has already been passed. It was $8.3 billion. It deals with testing supplies. It deals with developing a vaccine. Human trials on vaccines began yesterday. In fact, Oklahoma will be a part of those human trials for the vaccine in the days ahead through OU Medicine. We're one of the trial locations. It will still take months, but up to a year to actually get the vaccine fully done. So as far as headed towards a vaccine, we're not there yet, but it's funded, the trials are in place, and it shows some real promise. That was done about 3 weeks ago. The second bill was the bill that the House did. It did SNAP benefits, which deals with food security. It deals with unemployment insurance, has a couple other aspects about how the tests are paid for when you get access to a test, if they're fully paid for, which they are. The third, the last part of that's been the most controversial, and it's been requiring small businesses, those with employees of 500 or less, to have a mandatory paid leave that would then be reimbursed by the Treasury Department. That whole bureaucracy has not been stood up yet, and there's been lots of questions with how that would work. And what I've heard consistently in my office is from small businesses, if you require me to do 14 days of paid leave up to 80 hours, and then an additional 10 weeks at 2/3 pay for individuals, I cannot float that much money. If I have 10 employees that all take that at the same time, we don't have that kind of cash flow. So there's a lot of debate on what to be able to do with this. I'm not supportive of that because we are in such a fragile condition economically, and so many restaurants and coffee shops and hotels and others right now are they don't have any cash flow at all, as this group knows extremely well. So we're trying to get some amendments and changes. There's a conversation to be able to change that to doing unemployment insurance that has a different route to be able to do that rather than going through their employer. If it's going to be reimbursed by the federal taxpayer anyway, why have this that it washes through the employer rapidly when the employer doesn't have the cash to be able to do it? So we're trying to be able to make some changes to this. To see what we can do on that. That bill comes up for debate today on the floor of the Senate. If it passes as is, that will move to the president's desk, and he's already said he will sign it. There is a third bill. By the way, as is, I cannot support that bill. That's the second bill coming through the Senate today, unless we can get some serious amendments to it, which there are several working through. The third bill will deal with a larger economic package. It's trying to figure out how to be able to stabilize the economy. You heard the president yesterday mention one of the things he wants to do is just have checks go out to every American. That is an idea out there, but I would tell you that's not the only idea that's being floated out there. That is helpful to individuals that are just trying to be able to make it, but that will not help them the next month if they're not still employed. So there's other conversations about saying what can we do for small businesses to get them access to a 7(a) loan. So that they could have a very rapid, no-interest 7(a) loan to be able to cover their payroll. And there's some conversation about how that would be handled even at the end, whether it be a grant if they maintain their payroll to be able to help cover it. All of these are ideas that are floating right now. There's also targeted loans being proposed to, like, airlines and travel entities and such that are especially hard hit in this. But there's a whole group of ideas. We're continuing to meet in the Senate to be able to go through to try to figure out the best way to be able to help stabilize the economy. But our perspective is not just a one day, one time check. It's how do we actually stabilize the businesses that are out there. I also was on the phone this week with some of our Federal Reserve governors, and then been back and forth with Mnuchin several times to try to get them to provide additional clarity to what the word flexibility means for banks. I know they've already sent a notice out to all the banks to say that we're going to give flexibility during this time period. I've asked them to provide as much clarity as they possibly can, and so that you will know what programs are really available to you that regulators in the days ahead are not going to consider a troubled asset in the days ahead, so that you'll have some confidence to be able to what areas and what individuals that you can extend that credit to. So I've continued to be able to push that. They've been very open to it, and they're working through the process to be able to help provide some additional clarity on the word flexibility and what regulators will look at in the days ahead. What can I help answer with this?
That's very, very helpful, Senator. Let me just ask those on the call if anyone has any questions that you can direct to Senator Lankford about this virus or what the federal government is doing to help us. Does anyone have any questions?
I have learned you have to push *6 to talk.
That's correct. You do. Anybody there?
Hey, Roger.
Yes, sir.
This is Mick Thompson.
Yes, Commissioner.
I want to follow up on what Senator Lankford, he and I have been working back on this troubled debt restructuring that he called about the other day. And I have talked yesterday with the Governor Bowman of the Federal Reserve and with the FDIC Chairman's office about the definition that we need to know exactly what that means, because if both bankers remember, last time this happened, when they came back in and examined, they classified most of those loans. So what I've asked them to do and what they've got their policy group working on is that to have that just because it was a troubled debt restructuring or it would not be necessarily classified. And so as of yesterday afternoon, Senator, they are working to come up with a definition of what that, so it would be defined directly, so the bankers that did those restructuring would not have to fear about that loan be classified just because it was restructured. And hopefully they'll get something out on that today or tomorrow.
Great. Yeah, their comment to me was they were going to try to get that in their FAQs so they can get something in writing and get it out rapidly.
Yes. That's correct.
All right. Well, anyone have questions or comments for Senator Lankford or Governor Stitt, if he's still on the line? Anything at all?
Can you give some clarity to SBA lending?
Boy, I wish I could on that. There's been a real push to be able to increase the dollars going to SBA to allow the 7A loans to be able to be rapid. Later this week, in fact, I'm leaving out from this phone call as soon as I hang up, heading over to meeting with Marco Rubio and a group of folks working on the small business lending portion of this from SBA, because he chairs that committee, and exactly what proposals that we can actually find agreement on and to be able to get that done. But hopefully by the end of this week, we'll have greater clarity on this other than just adding additional dollars. We're also trying to deal with the bureaucracy. This proposal about getting small businesses access to a loan to be able to float their payroll and possibly be able to shift some of that into a grant is still in process. And again, it'll probably be a couple of days before we actually get this fully baked and out.
Thank you, Senator
Lankford.
Yeah.
Please, go ahead.
Senator Lankford, this is Jill Castillo at Citizens Bank of Edmond.
Hey, Jill.
I saw the announcement where the Federal Reserve is going to be buying commercial paper for some of the largest creditors in the United States. And as we consider some of the small business lending and the uncertainty as to kind of where this is going to go from a liquidity standpoint for community banks, it really would be great if there was some accessibility to potentially purchase some of that commercial paper, especially for the ones initiating this SBA lending.
Okay. What would you need to be able to provide you the ability to do that?
I know that they were talking about more of the SBA Express approach, which would mean that those loans would go on the bank's balance sheet, which, as right. Commissioner Thompson mentioned, could end up being a substantially higher risk type of loan. So if they were willing to purchase that paper from us, almost like the debenture program for the 504 program, I think it could get money out to small businesses faster, but then also lessen the risk exposure for community banks, as well as give us as accessibility to some liquidity.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll see if I can pass it on.
Hey, Roger.
Yes,
Secretary
sir.
Copeland's on the line. He and I have been talking about the SBA lending. Secretary Copeland can probably give an update on what's happened on that since yesterday.
All right. Mr. Secretary, the floor is yours.
Sure. I didn't want to talk over the senator, but can you guys hear me? I want to make sure I'm not talking to myself on this. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, yes, let me just briefly, and I can expand on employer programs as well. So at the state level, I've got all workforce and economic development. So let me initially, on the SBA program that is available now, the disaster assistance program, Oklahoma applied for this about 5 days ago. Mark Gower with our emergency management team applied. We are having a terrible time getting them to get us on the website. They have assured us they will get us on there today. But here is what is critical. Having your state on the SBA site really doesn't mean anything. Having counties eligible and approved on the site is the key. And thank goodness, one thing that Mark did was we stood up damage.ok.gov and we started getting input from businesses all over the state of Oklahoma. And so we will have initially 24 counties that will be eligible, and I'll publish a list of those today. I tried to get those out to the Daily Oklahoman and Tulsa World yesterday, so they may already be out in the media, but Tulsa and Oklahoma counties are clearly included. And we believe the SBA has told us that counties that are contiguous, that touch the approved counties, are also approved. If that's the case, we have 64 counties that are already approved. So the bottom line is, as soon as the SBA loan provides up to $2 million per business, 3.75 interest for for-profit businesses, 275 for nonprofits, up to 30-year loans. And the way they'll apply is as soon as I can give you guys the link that you can share out with your clients. And as soon as Oklahoma is live, which again, we have told will be today, they can go in there and apply. They can actually go in there now and register. So they are ready and they have a user ID and a password. And then as soon as Oklahoma is live, that will save them some time and they can just go in and put in their information. So the link, it's very hard to find on the site, but the link is just sba.gov/funding-programs/disaster-assistance. So I'll repeat that again, www.sba.gov/funding-programs/disaster-assistance. So we will have the most counties eligible of anybody in the country as soon as we get on there. And that's basically the scoop there. What I don't know, this is going to be basically an online process, they have told us. So there's not going to be resource centers. So I can't even imagine the number of applicants that will be coming into SBA. So as a fellow banker, I am a little nervous about their ability to get the funds out in a timely fashion. I pray that the senator is correct and that there will be additional easier funding mechanisms for our small businesses, but that's kind of what we've got right now.
Mr. Secretary,
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Secretary, this is Pam Lawson with Grand Savings Bank, and we are located in Delaware County, which I know we don't have any confirmed cases here, so I'm sure we're not on that list of counties, but as we...
You are, Pam. You are.
Oh, okay, well, that will be good. Is that... With this SBA program and this funding, is there a limit or a cap to that funding? I'm just imagining all the small businesses coming in to apply for that, and then we run out of funding.
I believe there's a $50 billion cap right now to the funding. I have no concept of you know what it's going to take. But I'm with the senator. I just can't imagine that the government would not continue funding the program. I just don't see us capping out on that. Pam, let me just list the counties real quick. Roger, is that okay? If I
yes,
list
sir.
Those real fast for everybody?
Yes, sir. That's fine.
Okay. And again, we believe these are the counties, and we believe it's the contiguous counties as well will be eligible. But here they are: Greer, Grant, Logan, Oklahoma, Canadian, Grady, McLean, Stevens, Carter, Murray, Payne, Lincoln, Pawnee, Osage, Tulsa, Rogers, Wagner, Okmulgee, Muskogee, Sequoia, Pittsburgh, Pushmataha, Choctaw, and Delaware are the ones that are already approved. And here is how a county gets approved. You just need one business from that county to go to sba.gov. Let me back up. Until we're live with sba.gov, a business in your county, if your county was not listed, if just one business can go to damage.ok.gov. That was our state site that we stood up. They can go in there right now and put in their information and the loss that they are experiencing, and that can help get that county eligible. Mark and his team will then share that over with SBA once it's inputted, and that's how a county gets eligible. A state needs 5 business losses, which that's already done. We're approved as a state, and we have been for days now. We are just a little frustrated that they have not gotten us up on the site yet. But and then each county just needs one business with a loss to be eligible.
Sean, this is Dee Sokolowski. Thanks for your help.
Yes, sir.
We have a lot of church clients that are going to be needing some relief, and my SBA team is telling me that directive you just referenced includes nonprofits, but then down in the fine print, there may be an exclusion for churches. Are churches eligible to apply for these funds you're talking about?
You know, Dee, I had someone ask me that yesterday, and I called Dottie overall at the SBA, but I did not hear back, to be honest with you. I can let Adrian and Roger know as soon as she tells me. I would think that they would be. All it says is it says private nonprofits, which leads me to believe that any government, related entity would not obviously not be eligible. But everyone else, I would think, would be. But to be honest with you, I have not heard back on that. But I can let everybody know, and you in particular, when we find out.
That'd be great. Appreciate it if Roger or Adrian could shoot that out, because I'm sure we're not the only one.
Yes, you bet.
Yeah, will do, Dee. Thank you. Who else has questions for the secretary? Anyone?
Hey, Roger,
there's somebody. Okay, please ask your question.
I said the governor gave us his number. I wonder if we could get Sean's phone number also.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll actually give you guys my cell phone number. And it is 918-740-4440. And we have a central contact within the Department of Commerce that is also handling any types of questions around business programs. And his name is Ray Little, and his number is 405-815-6552. And if I might just mention very briefly to you guys, for displaced employees, so employees that are impacted, OESC is under my umbrella as well, and they are expediting all unemployment claims. We have ramped up our staffing. Their call volumes obviously are shooting up, but impacted workers can go to oesc.ok.gov to file their unemployment claim. They can call if they have any questions. They can call 800-555-1554. This is an online process, so they have closed their workforce offices because of the COVID virus, so everything will need to be handled online. They have added an 8-week return to work date on unemployment applications, and that just means the claimant does not have to seek work right now to receive benefits. So they can get benefits immediately. There is also a mass claim program for employers that have over 25 employees. They can just call that number, but basically send them in a spreadsheet so they can get handled more quickly. We hope that doesn't happen a lot, but I'm afraid that it might. And we really encourage employers and job seekers to visit that OESC website pretty frequently, because things are changing very rapidly. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention, and then I'll be quiet, Roger, is we still have over 80,000 jobs available in Oklahoma. And so I know there are going to be people that are impacted by losing their job, and I would really encourage them to download our app, which is OK Job Match. It's all one word, just OK, J-O-B-M-A-T-C-H. It's very, very easy to use. They just put in the job they're looking for and their zip code, and it will populate tons of available jobs. So I know we're going to have layoffs for sure, but we also have a lot of people hiring right now, and we're adding as many jobs into that database as we can for people. So that's all I wanted to mention, Roger.
God, thank you so very much. We're always grateful to have you participate with us. And we recognize that we're all in this together, whatever this may be, I'm just not sure. But you've been through tough times. These bankers on the call have been through tough times in the past, and together, working together, we've been able to get through them. May not have been easy, but we did it. And I think we'll do this again now. I don't want to minimize where things are. I just simply want to reassure bankers that we're doing everything we can to help you take care of your customers. And in that regard, if I might, and if Commissioner is still online, I would ask what thoughts or suggestions or advice he has. Commissioner Thompson has been a champion for this industry for decades, and we are very grateful for all that he has done to make this industry, help this industry be strong. So, Commissioner, what thoughts, if any, or suggestions, if any, might you have? And if you don't have any, that's fine. We'll just move on.
All right. I've got plenty. We've been busy the last couple of days.
I'll bet you have.
I don't know. Is the governor or Senator Lankford still on the line?
I don't think so. I think he's gone.
Good. I can talk about it. No. I want to go through a couple of things that are the most asked questions that we've had. And I go back to the troubled debt restructuring. That's why I was going to ask if Senator Lankford's still on the line. He's been a driving force to help us push this to the forefront in the last couple of days. And I know that from bankers I've talked to, and yesterday I was on a call with 170 regulators from all over the United States, and one of the major problems that all of them talked about was that they did this last time, and then when they had next exam, they got hammered for it. So Senator Lankford has been pushing with the Fed and the FDIC to come out with some clarification on that. So if let me give you the, most of you know this, but the financial letter, instruction letter that came out with in 2013, FIL 50213, that was October 24th of 2013, and then the Interagency Supervisory Guidance addressing certain issues related to TDRs. Both of those are pretty good, except that what I just said, they need some clarification on what happens when you change terms, when you lower rates, that those loans should not necessarily be classified. So hopefully in talking to the chairman's office and Governor Bowman yesterday, we'll get some clarification over that. My comment to you and working with the governor and with Lankford, we're going to, from the state level, we're going to push that those things don't necessarily be classified just because you restructured it. And so I want to be sure that they know that, and we're going to try to get some more definite out on those things. But I would just encourage you that do what you need to do to take care of your customer, but document it so that the next exam you can show clarification on it. That's one thing we've been talked about. The other thing is we had a lot of calls about lobby closings. A lot of people want to close their lobbies. Here's the procedure. If you have a drive-in, you don't even need to notify us. You can close your lobby, put notification up. I would encourage you that if somebody needs an appointment, whether it be to their loan is terming or whatever, give them a number to call to set up an appointment if you think that's necessary. But outside of that, you don't even have to notify us if you have a drive-in. If you don't have a drive-in, then you need to send us a request to close particularly you're closing the branch, basically, if you don't have a drive-in. We'll get back with you immediately and authorize that. So we want to be as cooperative as we can. To tell you that, obviously, because the governor's order, we're all working off-site this time. And so let me give you the best way to contact the department. And it's just, I'll give you Dudley's name because most of you talk to him anyway. It's just dudley.gilbert@banking.ok.gov or mick.thompson@banking.ok.gov. So any of the staff, examiners, whatever you need to talk to, it's just their name, last name@banking.ok.gov. Send them an email. You'll get a response quickly back with it. That's the easiest way to contact us. As Roger said, we'll get through this. Bankers have always been able to adjust. We will be as supportive and cooperative as there are things from the federal regulators, whether it be the Fed or the FDIC. Obviously, I have contacts at both of those
send it to me. It's hard to get through to them in Washington. I can get through to them. We need to be sure they're aware of what's happening in our communities and community banking, not just what's happening in Washington, D.C. or New York or Chicago. So let me know what we can do to help get you information, get you answers, but we're going to be as cooperative as we can from the banking department. And with that, Roger, I'll take a few questions if anybody has any.
Great.
Sandy Warner, I'm just curious, how many banks have closed their lobbies already?
I don't have a number with me, but I would say it's not a large percentage yet, but it's starting to be more and more each day.
Thank you.
Mick, this is Frazier. We had a question about our lobby at our corporate headquarters on Saturdays. If we wanted to close on Saturdays, what do we need to do to get that done?
Well, you don't have a drive-through there, right?
We do have a drive-through, yes. Historically, the lobby and the drive-through has been open for abbreviated hours on Saturdays, but if we wanted to close on Saturdays during this virus period, what would we need to do to
send Dudley or I request that under okay. What we're using is pretty liberal that if it's something like that, I think I have the authority to close it, but you do need notification on that. We need notification on that.
Great. Thanks.
Hey, Commissioner, I just got a question from one of our listeners, and I'm going to ask it of you. If a whole bank has to shut down for quarantine for the standard 14 to 15 days, what would a bank do since regulations say a bank cannot be closed for more than 3 days? I suspect that question hasn't come up before, but perhaps it has. My guess is that you would be very flexible in that regard, but I don't want to assume anything. So how would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say what you said. That's the first time I've had that question.
Hey, Mick, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is Dudley. And I apologize. I'm listening through the computer, but, In those circumstances, if a bank had to do that, first of all, with respect to Frazier, on your question about Saturdays, the only time you need approval is if you're going to have an office closed for more than 48 hours. So if it's open on Friday and it closes on Saturday, even though you're ordinarily open, and then you reopen it on Monday, that's fine because that would not be closed for more than 48 hours. Now, with respect to say a bank that just closed, and it shut down operations altogether, if it's for more than 48 hours, 3 days or 14 days, from a state standpoint, that just requires approval from our office. Now, one of the questions will become whether you lose any rights associated with not meeting your midnight deadline. There are some provisions in the state banking code, as well as a couple of other state statutes. If you fail to meet your midnight deadline in these type of circumstances, state law suggests that you are entitled, you're not going to be penalized for that. Now, that being said, the Federal Reserve Regulation CC might control and preempt state law in that circumstance. So that's something we probably need to get figured out. But also, if a bank, even though closed, if you have someone available to operate the branch from the standpoint or from processing your cash letter, you may want to consider that, so that you don't miss any opportunities with respect to your midnight deadline.
Okay. Thanks, Dudley. That's terrific information. Who else has a question for the commissioner? Anyone? Hey,
Roger, this is David Cook.
Hi, David.
Commissioner, we've been thinking about going in and lowering some loan rates on affected customers. If we do it across the board for a class, our question is, if that class includes some impaired credits, does that trigger TDR? If we do it for everybody across the board in that class of like ag lending?
Well, I would say yes, because if you've got one that's impaired already, that it should. But again, I think I would look at those guidelines that I gave you a while ago. That it has a whole breakdown of every one of those. I think that probably is what I would have you look at.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Who else may have a question for the commissioner or the banking department as a whole?
You know, I'll just say, Roger, a lot of this is just as these questions come up. I mean, it's news to us, and so a lot of it we're not trying to avoid an answer. We just don't know because it's never happened before. But I will say this: we're going to be as flexible as we can, and we will do everything we can to make sure that the FDIC and the Fed are as flexible as possible. But this is all new stuff.
Well, and you're right on top of the issue that I think worries most bankers, and that is, what do the regulators do after the bank provides some working capital or extensions of a subprime credit? How do they classify it? What happens? That sort of thing. The Fed was wonderfully silent on that issue, as you know.
Yes.
Who else has a question, please? Anyone?
Hey, Roger, this is Gerald with Citizens Bank and Trust of Ardmore.
Yes, sir.
Has there been any discussion about the FDIC insurance limit being changed or raised during this time?
There has been, but I don't know how far the progress has come. I know that during the 2008 meltdown, as I recall, and Commissioner, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the FDIC essentially guaranteed all deposits, no matter the amount. I know that's impacting some folks out there, and a silent run has been ongoing, not just in Oklahoma, but across the country. And we are working together with the ABA, the ICBA, our colleagues, anybody that is willing to help us to try and persuade federal banking regulators that this is an extremely different situation than anything banks have faced before. And we need their help to enable them to stabilize their communities and reassure their customers. And Gerald, that's one of the things that we're talking about. I don't know the answer to it yet, but we are working on that and other issues. We have calls every day with our colleagues and the ABA, and it's always kind of a mystery what we're going to talk about. And an hour later, we've covered the waterfront for that day, and this is one of those issues.
Hey, Roger, let me jump back in for a second. Following up on what David asked a while ago, they've sent us to either Dudley or I that email address, that specific what you asked, and so we can get you something in writing and get you a definitive answer over that. So my reason bringing that up is all these things are going to be individual things that come up in your banks. Send us an email and ask us that question. May not be something we can answer, but we can certainly go up the chain to the FDIC or the Fed and try to find out for you. But again, it's going to be fluid each day. It's going to be different tomorrow than it is today. But we need to answer those questions as best we can. Some of it we're just not going to have an answer to right now.
All right. Thank you.
For everybody on the call, the chat feature of this call from Matt Caldwell just printed out or listed Commissioner Thompson's email address and Dudley Gilbert's email address in case you missed it earlier. So check out the chat function, and you'll see those two email addresses right there.
You notice I gave Dudley's first, didn't you?
Nope, gave yours first, Commish. Bad news. But,
dang.
Yep, sorry. I told him to do that. What other questions does anyone have of the commissioner or the banking department or anyone else for that matter? Please don't hesitate. All right.
Well, thank you, Roger. I appreciate you putting this together, and I've got another conference call if I can get on, but I just tell everybody we want to be helpful as much as we can. Let us know how we can, and we'll work together. We will get through this. Community bankers always figure out a way, and it's just something that we've never dealt with, but we'll try to get you the best answer as we can. Thanks, Roger.
That's why you're the best, Commissioner. Thank you so much. And while I'm thanking people, I want to thank the American Bankers Association, Matt Lapina and Matt Brown, for making this system available to us. We are very much appreciative, and especially of the ABA's leadership in putting people together. And I'm talking about the multi-trade association approach that is going on as we speak. Together, that's really a powerful message coming from all the banking trades, large, small, in between, doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter about your size. We're all in this together, folks, as you well know. And one of the things that I am comfortable saying is that in each of your communities, I know that you people are natural born leaders. You always have been. As the commissioner said, community banks are always there for their communities. And even though this one's different, we're not going to miss that opportunity working together to find solutions for our customers. Someone suggested that perhaps we have, I think they call them golden hours for seniors who might be in the most vulnerable class, and let them enable them to come into the lobby ahead of anybody else. It's things like that that bankers can innovate and make work in their own communities. And I think you heard the commissioner say that he'll be flexible in terms of how you do those sorts of things. So unless anybody else has any questions or concerns of us, please don't hesitate to ask us or call us or text us or email us. If we don't know the answer, we'll get it to the right person who does. Are there any final questions? If not, thanks again to the ABA. Thanks to the OBA staff who is making this call possible. And God bless all of you on this call and our great state and our great nation. Thank you. We are adjourned.
Thanks, Roger.
You bet. Thank you.